like Zoro too. Don't get me wrong. I like Zoro it's different. You know, Sanji's always got my heart. So yeah, I did like the Chowdown thing with Funimation last year. So they had like this whole big One Piece celebration thing. Yeah. And they hired me to make the dishes from the cookbook. So like I've always liked cooking, but I like anime. So it's just, he's right up my alley.
What's up, fam? Welcome to the One Piece Manga Bros podcast, One Piece podcast by fans for fans. We are making our way through the manga arc by arc every other week. Today, we're going to be diving into the Baratie arc, chapters 42 to 68. Or episodes 19 to 30 if you're watching the anime instead of reading the manga. So there you go. That being said, let us introduce our special guest today, Rogers Base. What's
Hello,
up, man?
Thank you for having me. Long time coming. I feel like everyone's always sending me messages saying, you guys got to work together. You got to talk about One Piece. So now I'm here. My main concern is to not spoil you guys on anything.
Appreciate that.
That is like my number one thing. So
it slips off the game, but otherwise, like, just, I can just earmuff and it's.
Take it out.
Last week we had teching on for Syrup Village and I needed to yell at something. So I had him take his headphones out for about a minute.
It happens, yeah.
I was I need you to just do this for a few seconds. We got to talk about something. So I guess let's get into this. I was mentioning before I clicked record here that Baratie is the arc that, you know, people have been asking to get you on, you know, since we started, since before I announced this, people have been like, you ever going to do a video at Rogers Base? You ever going to do a video at Rogers Base? And of course, you've been requested a ton, but specifically Baratie is the one that people are like, you need to get him on to Baratie. So is it your favorite arc? Is that, or is it just Sanji as the character? Like, what is it about this arc?
Yeah, it's definitely one of my favorites, especially in terms of like early One Piece. It always has been. But that is actually surprising that they've requested me on Baratie and not Arlong, because Arlong is where for the longest time I had assumed I had started the series. So for a little bit of backstory, I used to read One Piece in the North American English Shonen Jump, which is not even made anymore. Where they would have like the physical volumes where you'd get the Yu-Gi-Oh cards. And in these initial volumes, the one that I had always remembered was a certain fight that happens in Arlong Park with Usopp. And I remember that being the first chapter that I ever read. Jump to just a couple months ago, I went back and visited my parents' place in Chicago and found my old Shonen Jumps. And it turns out first chapter I ever read was in North American Shonen Jump, and it was Serp Village. So I've actually been reading this in English Shonen Jump since longer than I even expected. So Baratie was, sort of the one in the middle.
Maybe that's where it came from. Because I've seen the Arlong recommendations, but the Baratie ones definitely like dwarfed it for some reason. So I was like,
I'm a big Sanji stan. I love Sanji. We were talking about this before we started recording. Boom, I know you're a big Zoro fan, and that's fine. I like Zoro. I do.
We can be at peace.
Sanji's got a place in my heart, man. I love him. I love his flashback. I think it's so well done, especially in the manga, too. I feel like the anime did a great job with the music. But the manga, it really just like comes right off the page, the emotions. And then you get great Zoro moments with the stuff with Mihawk. You get that awesome moment at the ending where he bows to the rest of the Baratie. I actually just thought of something. I do know why people requested this one now. That's right. One of my favorite characters in the series is introduced in this story arc, and I don't even know if you guys know who this character is.
Really?
Yes. He's in this story arc. You probably don't know his name, but I will break down who that character is, because now that I'm thinking about it, my audience would troll like that, and they would absolutely tell me to be on character. That's totally what it was. Yeah.
So I guess you want to just wait until we get to that point in the story and then mention, or is the
how do you guys do this? Do you go like scene by scene? Like, are we going to be pulling out the volumes?
Kind of.
We pretend like we're going to go scene by scene, and then it just like it. It just derails.
I guess let's just start with this then, right? Like, let's just start with the opening of the arc. Like, literally within the first page or the first few pages is just the scene with Full Body and Sanji just absolutely calling him out in front of everybody and just taking him down, knowing full well that he's like a higher rank Marine.
Of course.
No cares at all. Just does not give a shit. You don't waste food. And I loved that opening. It's just such opening.
That was the first thing I actually appreciated about Sanji, where it's like he's kind of in that same vein as Luffy, where Luffy doesn't lie, but Sanji doesn't like put on airs. And it kind of follows along with that, where it's like Sanji's not going to pretend that you're going to be someone else when he knows what you actually are, and he's going to treat you as so.
Yep.
So I appreciate that about him from the get-go.
Coming from someone who used to work in hospitality and dealt with people on a daily basis and their problems, Sanji literally, like, in that moment was my spirit animal. Just like, yes, please tell these people, put him in his place. No free shit. I don't care.
I love but, that.
You know. The customer is not always right when it comes to Sanji.
Yeah.
And actually, yeah, especially with this being the first scene we're discussing, I guess it is time to bring up one of my favorite characters in the story who is in this scene and has not been mentioned yet, which is unfortunate.
So it's so, not full body.
Not full body. No. In this scene, in this very scene, the opening of Baratier. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. So all the characters we have at that point, we have full body, we have Sanji. Obviously, the Straw Hats are there. We have full body's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Patty? Is Patty in that one?
Patty, I think he shows up a little later.
Does he? Okay.
Is it Patty?
No.
It's not the bounty hunters, is it?
No. Okay. Nope.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay.
All right. You giving up your guesses? You want one more guess? Or you want me to tell you?
Grab the volume.
Yeah. Like, I didn't even crack that box open yet.
Everyone, turn your pages. Yeah. What's well, because technically, yeah, volume 7 is where the arc starts, right? I'm thinking about it. That's where, like, oh no. I think it's volume six.
I think it's the last chapter of 5. I'm pretty sure.
It is. Yeah. You're right.
I need to know.
I will pull up this exact scene for you. Okay.
Okay.
So let's go through this one by one. There's Patty. Yeah, he's talking to the cook. Okay. Here we go. It should be right before this. Trying to find the exact image of him. Here we go. All right. What kind of third-rate dive serves a soup with bugs? And he points down on his plate, and you see this little fly right here.
Fly?
See this fly?
Yeah.
That fly's name is Bachi. That is his canon name in the story. And Bachi died for our sins back in the Baratier arc, okay? Bachi, we pray for Bachi. We salute Bachi, F in the chat for Bachi. We love Bachi. There was a video I did a few years back where I talked about the weakest characters in One Piece, and people will always, you know, go into their power scaling. And I said, before I started this video, I will definitively tell you the weakest character in One Piece. You got to keep watching. End of the video, I revealed it was Bachi, the poor little bug that Full Body crushes and puts in his soup to trick Sanji. And ever since, Bachi has been a meme on my YouTube channel. So that, now that I'm thinking about it, that is probably why I was crested for Baratier, is because of Bachi.
That makes a lot of sense.
I'm glad an insect can bring us all together. That's the power of One Piece.
So I'm assuming what Oda revealed that name in an SBS in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was an SBS. It was like a couple volumes later, yeah, and somebody said, is there a name for the bug that was in Sanji's soup? And he said Bachi, and he did another little drawing of him, so, yeah.
Dude, that Bachi is amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I never knew that. That is...
Now you do!
I mean, that's one of the moments that I have to say that we've been talking about that's been one of the most fun parts of, like, actually reading the manga now, is I've been, like, obsessed with the anime, and it's so fun. But, like, you know, and I've heard the rumors of the random little side stories, and, right, we're still kind of in that era throughout this entire arc of Buggy's adventures, which is incredible, and I love it. But I love the small little details, and it's one of those things that I can't say more. Like, I can't not say it enough. If you are only watching the anime, even if you have no desire to read the manga because you're like, it's 1,000 chapters, it's too much of a commitment, just, oh no.
Well,
we lost Roger.
Roger, come back.
We lost him.
Full AFK.
Welcome back.
What happened?
What happened there?
Did Discord respond?
It kicked me. Yeah, it said you've been inactive. You've been AFK. Is there a way to turn that off?
I don't know how I'm AFK.
You guys not stop. Yeah, I was talking too much and it's saying I'm AFK. You know, unbelievable.
Hopefully it won't happen again.
Discord thought you were AI.
It's Bachi. Bachi is getting revenge for calling him the weakest character.
It's ghost. That's right. Bachi's ghost is haunting me.
But seriously, if you are anime only, like, even if you don't go back and read the manga, like, do yourself a favor. Just go and read the SBSs, read the little like side stories. It's like a page a chapter. And they're so fun, and they really give you like a peek at Oda's just, like, his personality, almost.
I made a note of that in the notes, where it's like, the SBS is one of my favorite things now, because, like, his interactions with the actual fan questions, is like, dude is a mix of giving no F's, but also hilarious at the same time, where it's like, he's not going to give any, he's smart enough not to give anything away. And my favorite thing is when he's talking about the door in, I think like Windmill Village in like one of the earlier volumes.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where
for sure.
he like, they were like, they, the mountain bandits busted out the door, but like in the right. next panel, the door's back. And he was like, that was, I certainly did not make a mistake.
Yeah, it
right
was this
there.
Guy. Here he is. See, yeah, 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 it's not me.
He literally created a character that fixed the door in between panels.
I won't say anymore, but it's very funny that that's the one character from the SBS that you mentioned, because there may or may not later in the story be another thing going on with that character. So that is
that
the beauty.
Even surprise me.
That is the beauty of these SBSs, right? Is that yeah. he'll introduce stuff that really fleshes out the world mm-hmm. and answers fan questions. But yeah, for every thing where he says, "Oh, it was the carpenter that fixed the door back in the village," or the bug that was in the soup, his name's Bocce. He also will answer questions like, "Hey, when Luffy goes pee, is his dick also rubber too?" And it's like, "Yeah, let's talk
that,
about."
That was,
so
that's, in these.
That's I know. That's what I'm saying. That's how he is. He's just goofy.
Everything so, stretches.
He says everything stretches. Yeah.
I mean the way he compares things, like it's like he's like, well, "What's the Gomu Gomus?" He's like, "What does that mean?" And he like gave another random obscure thing, like, "Well, it's equal to this and that and that." It's he's just a very, very creative person, and clearly like very good at storytelling. And that's the one thing about One Piece, is it just, no matter how many times you go back, it like, you notice things you didn't before, depending on where you're at in the series. And it's just a really cool thing. But this arc, I think, is definitely, and understandably so, one of the arcs that I feel like pulls people in a lot. I know with the anime, I always used to tell people, like, you know, they're like, "Oh, where should I watch to before I know if I like One Piece?" I'm like, well, I mean, that's going to fluctuate depending on what it is. But my thing was always episode 24. It was always the fight with Mihawk, because I feel like it sets up the world and lays that expectation of like, you're not really prepared for what's to come. And I don't think anybody is when they start this. And Baratie does that from start to finish. Like, you have Full Body coming in and he's, you know, being his typical Marine self, which we've seen with Morgan, Sanji doing his thing. And then Sanji mentioning that all the waiters walked out. And you're like, okay, so the waiters are quitting. The cooks are fighting with the pirates. Like, the pirates are here. Like, then we get Krieg coming in. And this is what I'm really excited for, because before, when we were waiting for you to join in here, Roger, Boom mentioned how much he despises Krieg. And I hated Krieg. I will say, through this arc, I feel like I like Krieg more than I did when I first watched it. And we'll get into that now, but Boom, I want to know why. What is it about Krieg you dislike?
Okay. I will say, the manga changed how I felt about like the specific events. Okay. Because I don't like villains that literally just pull something out. It feels they always pull something out of their hat, where it's like just a continuous like, "Oh, I got this, but now I got this," and then so on and so on and so on. And it's like, Luffy's knocked this dude out four times, and then now it's like, "All right, now I got the gas bomb." It's like, Jesus Christ, dude, just stop. But through all that, I was thinking on it, and I was like, I don't really like the guy, but I think the way it works in the manga showed me that, is that Krieg is more about showing Luffy's tenacity than what he is as a villain. He's actually showing what Luffy is as a protagonist, right? Mm-hmm. Like he keeps coming back, but Luffy keeps knocking him the fuck out. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where it's just, it's really showing that Luffy has no quit in him, as opposed to like Krieg just having like a full arsenal in all that armor.
Definitely.
I still can't stand him though.
He's like the first villain up to this point that like Luffy really struggles with, right? Luffy doesn't finish Buggy in one hit like he does kind of Morgan and Alvida. Like, he has to hit him a couple times, but this was like, I feel like, the first point in the story where he didn't necessarily struggle against him, but it wasn't an easy win. Right. Luffy had to really try. And we saw a few different ways that he fought, and saw kind of what pushes Luffy over the edge. Right. Like, for the majority of the fight, Luffy was kind of just like, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
he's just watching, vibes, dude.
Krieg started kind of like hurting his men. And that was when Luffy kind of really got serious and did not like that at all. And we see that consistently throughout the series, because I feel like Luffy looks at what a pirate is in a very different way than almost every other pirate we see. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just loved that just the way they set this up, like the way they teased the Grand Line, him having 50 ships, 5,000 men, gets just absolutely obliterated by Mihawk, right? Like, and just the Mihawk.
Supposedly over fun. A nap, by the way.
Yeah, like, well, he's like, for fun. He's like, yeah, I did this for fun. But then it also just shows, like, the fact that Luffy impressed Mihawk, the fact that Zoro impressed Mihawk, and it's like, I mean, you would assume, especially at this point in the story, like, impressing somebody of that caliber is... Yeah. It shows that, like, they see something in him, and you get that pattern with Shanks seeing something in him and all of that. And I loved that aspect of it.
One thing that irritated me about kind of like Krieg was the interaction he had between him and Mihawk when Mihawk cut his ship, and he basically like blamed it on him having a devil fruit.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, well, he has a devil fruit, that's why. And I was like, really, dude? Like, you've been to the Grand Line, and you came back with your tail between your legs, and you're going to sit here and just...
7 days. Does that really count as being in the Grand Line? You know, like, I don't remember the exact timeline of, like, where the Straw Hats got to in the first 7 days. I know Whiskey Peak was pretty close, but, like, I'm pretty sure even after they left Whiskey Peak, like, it was a decent sail, I think, before they got to the next island.
Yeah, One Piece is weird when it comes to time things, because there's certain arcs that'll be like 100 chapters and it takes place in one day. And then meanwhile, you'll get like another chapter that takes place over the night. But then during the same story arc, it's like, oh, okay, a week has passed. And you go, what the heck? A week has passed? We just spent a day in this one place. Not even a week has passed. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, like, this whole arc took, what was it, like a day and a half?
I think
like he literally drew a hole in Verity.
Yeah,
and then
was it really only
had to
a day
work
and a
for
half
him
in that timeline?
I think
yeah,
I think it was like 2 days or something like that.
Yeah,
like they
it,
showed
it was
up,
a very,
was...
very short thing.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Yeah, I don't think any of the story arcs early into the story are more than one or two, are they?
Yeah, it's not a lot.
It was 2 days later. So after
2 days,
after Gin left. He got Krieg, and it took Krieg and them 2 days to get back. So it was basically just 2 days of Luffy being a chore boy, probably just destroying the kitchen beyond belief.
Which is another thing I want to talk about. The fact that literally, like, almost throughout the entire arc, Sanji just keeps referring to him as chore boy.
Yeah.
Throughout all the fights and everything, he's just like, chore boy, what are you doing over there?
Yeah.
And, like, it wasn't really until the end when he started, like, really kind of using Luffy's name after he'd saw, like, the conversation him and Zeff had while Luffy was, like, fighting. He's like, what keeps pushing him?
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you pointed out something, too, where you mentioned that they're calling each other by a nickname in the very beginning of this arc. And that's been something that in this story, specifically right now, this is not a spoiler, by the way. This is, like, not at all. But there is there's a character that's introduced that's called by a nickname. And there's been a whole debate in the series that none of the other Straw Hats have ever called each other by nicknames, and Luffy hasn't called anyone by a nickname who has then eventually joined the crew. Oh. And that's a whole big debate. And you're bringing this up, and it's like, people should go back and reread these early arcs, because they're calling each other nicknames all the time.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, like, even the beginning, like, Luffy didn't refer to Zoro as Zoro until, like, a little bit into the arc, if I'm remembering right.
They're always
like,
calling each other nicknames,
until they earn each other's respect.
Yeah,
for
and
each
then
other,
once
then
they learn, once they meet each other, they become more comfortable with it. I remember that was a big one with a future character where she goes arcs before she calls anybody by their name. I mean, it was just a super common thing. But so Krieg, kind of, I feel like the typical pirate, right? Like they set him up as like how he stoops low. He's willing to cry. He's willing to grovel. And I feel like that also kind of, I almost feel like this was put here to prove that numbers don't necessarily mean anything. You know, like Luffy and Sanji essentially took down Krieg, just the two of them, right? Like, yeah, they had the cooks helping, but like the cooks got taken out of the equation pretty early in the fight. So it really was left up to the two, and just having like Zoro and Usopp's trust of just like, I got this, you go. And I love seeing that trust, like, especially with Usopp. I don't know if it's just me. It seems like Usopp almost, like, became more trusting to Luffy and the crew than, like, Zoro and Nami at this point in the story. Like, I feel like Usopp kind of, like, clicked right away and was like, yes, Captain, I got you. Like, I'm doing it. Like, you know, making his little jokes of, like, I'm the captain, you're not. But he just...
I mean, shoot, at one point, him and Zoro were just chilling at a table. While Luffy's doing all the chores and shit.
Right, right.
Like, they're just like, well, you haven't left yet?
I mean,
like,
Nami's there too enjoying it, so.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, Nami didn't have to pay. The rest did.
Right.
Yeah. She's a shit.
She just exists, and then Sanji simps. That's it. That's how it works.
Well, I feel like this early on too, like they were setting up the way I said, like Luffy was being proven to be like tenacious, right? Like Zoro, same thing with the Mihawk fight, where it's like,
yeah.
Dude, I must say, I feel like this is like the biggest flex so far in One Piece was when like dude busted out like the little 4-inch knife or whatever.
Oh, it's the best. Yeah.
And he was like, come at me. Let's just.
I didn't remember it that way. Like,
let's just see what happens here. But no,
like, You didn't remember it that way. No, how did you remember it? I mean, that's so iconic scene.
No, I remembered the moment, but like, I didn't remember how much Mihawk belittled Zoro in that first I forgot, because I guess like the respect that he gave him after like overshadowed it, but I was reading it and I was like, I forgot about this. Like, oh my God. Like, he was really just like, you ain't worth shit. Dude, come here. Let's go, dude. I'll poke
you. I mean, especially because you're the world's greatest swordsman, right? And so if someone comes up to you and it wants to fight you and is calling himself the world's greatest swordsman, and you already are, you got to put that person in their place.
Especially
you
know, when the dude's like in a t-shirt and jeans, right?
Like, right. He's got green hair.
He's like, you see the hat I'm wearing this guy? Right now? Like, come on, man. At least get the drip up a little bit.
Exactly. Exactly.
I love that
earlier boom with just before we move away from it with Krieg and with Luffy and like sort of why Krieg acts the way he does, why Oda writes him that way, and like Luffy's interactions with him and how he's fighting and what it sort of means to be a pirate, right? Because Krieg is that perfect example of what we would imagine a pirate being, right? Like a scummy dude, like from all the things that we read as a kid. Whereas like Luffy, piracy is like a means to an end for him, right? Like being a pirate is freedom, right? That's the whole reason he wants to be the pirate king, is because the pirate king is the most free in the world. You could sail the seas and go anywhere you want to go. You don't have to worry about anything. And so, you know, Krieg, whether it's, you know, the numbers that you guys brought up, like having a big bounty, amassing all these ships, it doesn't matter at the end of the day because he's in it for the wrong reasons. And yeah, I think that the fact that you picked up on that, I think, is really good. Yeah.
I before we move on, I love, once again, Mihawk embarrassing Zoro, where he was like, I'm not going to hunt a rabbit with a cannon. And I was like, God, like, yo, sit down, bro.
I mean, he was just relentlessly battering him. And then it was just him getting demolished after the fact, too. Mm. I mean, you could see it just like it crushed him. And I almost like, it was really dope to see, though, is just the flip on Mihawk once he realized the kind of person that, like, Zoro actually was, and then saw it in Luffy, and I really liked that. And I guess it's just, it makes me wonder if it's just because of how different they are from other pirates, because obviously throughout the entire series, Luffy just screaming that he's the king of the pirates is, like, a common theme. I mean, I'm sure that if we spliced everything together, it'd be a 20-minute long video. But
longer, easily.
Yeah, like, I feel
there's
like
some episodes they repeat that over and over again.
Very true.
15 minutes of the episode, so.
I feel like every time Luffy brings it up, at least from my recollection, there might be a few times that I might be mistaking it, but the majority of the time, people just kind of laugh at him. They laugh it off. That's not realistic. Like, not even like, no, you're not going to get it. I'm going to get it. It was just kind of like, that's crazy. You're a psycho. But Krieg, if I'm remembering correctly, is like the one that didn't. He's like, no, I'm going to get it. And I kind of liked that butting heads of two completely polar opposite ends of the spectrum, right? Like the king of the East Blue. Well, clearly, who's the new king of the East Blue? Like, I would argue it is the Straw Hats at this point, right?
Of course, if
Krieg is the strongest one and Luffy took him down, I mean, yeah, they leave not long after. But I just kind of liked the contrast there of two pirates that both want the same thing, but just in drastically different ways. Like Luffy cherishing his crew, and Krieg literally shot two of them for asking questions. Like, they didn't even like go against him. They just asked a question. He was like, nope, no questions. You say yes or no, and that's it.
That's it. That's how you got to be with the live chat sometimes, though, when you're live streaming. Is the chat will say something stupid. You just got to shoot. Don't ask questions. Yeah. Just ban them. That's how you got to be.
Well, and I want to point out, too, it's kind of like what Roger was saying about, like, the way Krieg was written, where it feels like he's like the MTV Cribs version of Pirates, where it's as long as it's gold-plated and, like, think it's worth a whole lot, like, that's what being a pirate is. And, like,
well, I mean, even
like you said, like,
the same way, though.
Yeah, and
his crew's the same way.
For sure, they're all
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Like listening to like him lecture his crew about why they do this, and like half the time the shit he was saying did not make sense. Mm-hmm. We're gonna go steal the logbook because it possibly has information on the Grand Line.
Yeah, I love that his thought process was like, he probably knows where the One Piece is.
Yeah, right.
And after a year, you think he knows where the One Piece is after? All right, bro, you're not ready for this at all. All right.
The best part was he convinced the whole crew. It wasn't just like one or two people he told. Mm-hmm. Like there was multiple people that were like, dude, this is a great idea, Captain. You're a fucking genius.
See, Ernie, that's because it's teaching you a truth about the world, right?
Yeah.
Which is that most people are stupid,
that
people like that will succeed because stupid people will follow you if you're confident enough.
Yeah. So that 40% of people believe anything.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. If you say it with enough confidence and enough gusto, people will follow you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh man.
But like, I also have to say that. Such an impactful moment that I feel like gets completely overshadowed because of Mihawk, and that is Nami leaving.
Dude, she just
like,
dipped.
Yeah. Just dipped, yeah. Randomly, she's out of there. Right as everything goes haywire. But yeah, like just her fighting back tears, like clearly seeing that she did not want to do this. And we kind of see her getting attached to Luffy a little bit more over and over time. And then the little SBS in there, which I don't know if you guys caught this, but Nami specifying that her measurements will not change.
Right.
And it just makes me wonder, like, this man really planned this early? He's like, I'm going to put an SBS.
Wait, take it to the time skip. Don't worry. Those measurements will change. Yeah. So that's
but I love what he does.
It happened
those.
For another one, too. So, like in you know, her measurements are like, that has to be painful at this point.
Yeah.
I've come to the conclusion in future arcs, like after time skip, that Toei just flips a coin or rolls a die each episode, and they're like, all right, how bigger X person's boobs this episode?
Yeah.
All right, up a size. Nope, down two. Up three. Nope.
They're just inflating a balloon and having notice they win.
To be fair, I feel like character heights are sometimes even like that in the story, right? Where like a character will be an absurd size and you'll see the next scene and they look relatively normal. So
which can be kind of weird because Oda does very well. Like, you know, I mentioned that a lot where it's like you look at like in certain areas, like you can tell like the buildings are absolutely massive where it's like, but the hallways are like making the characters look very small, which, you know, he does very well. But like you said, like stuff like that's kind of like. The thing I do want to point out, I feel like the anime actually did better with like the Nami thing, kind of like leading you on to where they're going next, as opposed to the, because like you said, it felt overlooked in the, like there was that panel, she was in tears, you know, and she was like, you know, I got to do what I got to do. But
she,
it's
like,
also like
Bellemere, and that's it, really.
Yeah. Right. And I don't know. I feel like that part just hit way harder in the anime where it's like, okay, where is she actually going then?
I'm sure it's because they had the hindsight of the next arc, right? Obviously,
right,
you know,
from
writing the anime, they know what the next arc is going to be in the manga, so they could flesh it out a little bit more. And I think it's important to note, too, you know, in that scene where she's crying and talking about going back, it's not just crying because she's leaving these friends that she made. It's also crying going back to Arlong.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
Like, knowing what's coming for her going back there.
Her reality setting back in.
Right. It's like this was a fun little vacation for her, and now we're moving back into the serious stuff.
At this point in the story, do we know how long she's been away?
No.
I don't believe so.
You mean
so.
Like in terms of
her adventure with them?
Like, yeah, like has it been like a, no. Do we know it has been a few years, a few months? No, I didn't think so. No. I just wasn't 100% sure.
You do find out in the next arc, for sure. But
I didn't think that we had gotten it there, but...
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
The other question, or not question, but... really emotional moment that like I literally teared up like reading this, and I know it didn't do this to me when I watched the anime, and I guess it's probably just hindsight of knowing the characters, was after Zoro gets like beaten and Luffy kind of takes over, of Zoro like crying, like you see that flash.
Such a good scene.
See the flash of like Luffy and like him mentioning the King of the Pirates, and you could tell that at that moment Zoro's just so upset because he feels like he just disappointed him. And it's just like, I didn't realize how deep their connection was so early, because I don't know if we've seen him cry since this.
I will never lose again.
Like, at least I don't think we have. And it's just like, I feel like you don't realize how impactful that moment is until you go back to it, which is
Well, it's kind of like the Nami thing as well. Like it's the idea of losing. It's disappointing Luffy, but it's also like his expectations are now shattered.
Yeah.
Because originally before he's like, yo, three sword style, I'm gonna clap this dude.
Exactly.
I'm become the greatest of all time.
He was confident at the start.
There's nothing worse than like meeting someone. You think you're good at something, and then you meet someone and you realize, like, oh,
exactly.
God. Like, you know, it's like when you step into a room with actual smart people like you guys, like I'm just like, ooh, I got a long way to go. But it's real, like, yeah, I felt like on multiple fronts it really like set different expectations for him, where like he knows the mountain he has to climb now.
I feel
go ahead.
I was just say that's the feeling I got from it. It was this arc was Zoro seeing the mountain and putting everything in perspective in a way, rather than just saying I'm going to be the world's greatest swordsman. Now he sees the mountain, and he knows what he has to achieve. Where last arc was almost like Luffy's, you know, putting things in perspective of where he wants to go, where especially with Usopp. So I feel like we're getting more and more closer to seeing everyone's desires every arc. And I'm loving this. Like this.
Oh,
this
it's so good. what I was gonna bring up, because I was actually pulling for this.
Oh no!
Damn it! How did he go again?
I don't know, but I'm gonna check the settings to see why.
Yeah, just in case he was talking like how
I'm like in the middle of talking and it just kicks me again.
We've never had it do this before, which is so weird.
Yeah, it's literally
probably
never happened.
Are you all like moderators in the Discord or something? Because maybe it has.
I'm gonna make it so that this voice channel. Good.
Does it automatically AFK me? Yeah.
We should be good now.
Discord said, nah.
We don't want to know what Roger's base has to say. No. What I was looking for earlier, if you were wondering why I was looking down, is I was pulling up the scene right before his defeat, where you have Zoro and Mihawk, and you get this great line where he goes, you know, you want to have your guts cut out? You want it? Why don't you retreat? And Zoro says, I can't. If I retreat even one step, my vow, my ambition, everything I care about will be shattered and my dreams will be lost forever. And you get this such a good line from Mihawk going, yeah, that's what defeat means. And it's like,
is that the same page where it has Zoro's side profile with Queena behind him?
It's
or is that on another page?
It's on another page. Yeah, this isn't where he's taking the knife out of his.
Like,
dude, that moment really hits, and I think adds to what you guys were saying about Zoro earlier, right? That like it's not only realizing that there's someone out there that's way better than him, but also coming to terms with what it means to lose, right? He's been so confident all this point up in the story. He hasn't, you know, he hasn't lost. He's got three sword style. He's a beast. He's completely seen as a badass up to this point. And it's easier for Zoro to tell Mihawk, no, kill me right now. I'd rather face death than defeat than it is to actually come to terms with the fact that he's weak and that he needs to get stronger. And I thought that was handled so well and was something that really stuck with me the first time that I read it.
I also
doesn't want any
control.
Kind of scars on his back either, like other people.
Right. You know? He's like, no, give it to me right here. Come on. I'm ready. Take it.
The smirk from Mihawk after that. What's crazy, too, is like the control, right? Like Mihawk says immediately that he made a point to let him live. But he also really fucked him up, man.
Of course. He's not getting back up.
He's like, you know, I'm gonna let you live, but you're not gonna be able to walk for quite a while, bro.
Like, I need
to say that. Like he used that sword to literally cut a ship in half. So like that shows his restraint in a way, right? Because cut a ship in half, but he literally just sliced down Zoro's chest and didn't actually like kill him. So it's massive props from Mihawk.
Like the coach from Remember the Titans, he left no doubt. Like, like you're going to know he was there. So,
man, it's so good.
Your thoughts on Pearl?
Pearl's
second
weird.
Time through, I also didn't like Pearl. I'm not a fan. They hyped him up so much, like this character is like he's never been defeated, he's never been broken.
He's invincible.
Nothing can destroy this, and it gets, I think, shattered by like Sanji, who at this point, like, very clearly I think designed a setup of like, hey, look how strong this dude's kicks are.
Sure.
But like
Luffy crashed into him in the back of his head and made him smash on his shield.
Right.
As well, right? Like Pearl reminds me of like the rich kid whose dad went ahead and like bought him the armor to be pirate and like he never learned how to use it.
Yeah,
but he also
he has really good armor.
It looks like a jewelry store mascot that would be out front like flipping a sign with all
he's the kid who showed up to a Yu-Gi-Oh tournament as a kid with an actual dual disc and then thought he was gonna beat everybody.
Yeah, no, like he had like all this anticipation of like, I mean, don't get me wrong, dude got some shots in, but like,
oh yeah,
like he immediately fell apart like the first time he got a bloody nose in a fight. Yeah. So yeah,
I mean, he did
his
also set himself.
Pearl, man. Yeah, I mean, like, come on.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
He did like set himself on fire though, which was pretty ballsy. I mean,
that's even crazier. Okay, all right. So I was wondering this too. All right, Mads. All right, so Mads is fighting against Sanji on the deck, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And the cooks are over here, and the pirates are over here, and Pearl's right here on fire.
Yes. Yep.
What good does that do anyone else in the battle?
I mean, I didn't say he was smart.
I just saw his own crew. It's like,
chill. He can't be that smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
He just walks around with shields all day and just smacks him. He's like the kid with all the pots and pans, like in the kitchen.
I think of like that scene from The Simpsons with Bart walking around going, "I am so great. Everybody loves me."
The other thing we have, obviously, Gin, and towards the end, where he mentions he wants to see them again. Maybe it happens past where I'm at, but I'm so far in, I don't know anymore. I hope so. Every time that happens, I hope that they revisit. Like, I like to imagine that when we get to the end of One Piece, like, they have the end, and then it's just like, here's X amount of chapters of just seeing all of the reunions.
Like, full
so that
epilogue,
you could just cry
like,
for multiple weeks in a row. Yeah. Like, just circle it, go say hi to everybody.
You think Oda would take, like, a victory lap after you do
the whole thing? Of course. How do you know?
Of course there'll be an epilogue, no doubt. Yeah. Long epilogue.
I hope so.
I mean, yeah, it's literally a journey itself 3 years. Right there.
It's like, so the final arc has come to a conclusion. However, One Piece will be good for about the next 10 years. We have a lot of loose ends to tie up, so you're good. Don't worry.
And it's also a really interesting character in terms of like looking at it as a hardcore fan of the series today, right? Because it seems like every single story arc, some new mystery character will show up and there will be theory videos. Is this when Gin finally shows back up? And it's like, we haven't seen this man in literally over 15 years. Mm-hmm. We have not seen this character. And you guys wanted to come back so badly. It's just, it is funny, but it also speaks to how good that scene is with Sanji with the fried rice, right?
Oh,
that people so badly want this sidekick of Don Krieg to be important to the story again so many years later and to have that special reunion or to pay back his debt or do something, you know? So, yeah, we're all still waiting for it.
If he's, like, actually following Don Krieg and we don't necessarily know what kind of evolution as pirates they may go through or character, well, like, with where the Straw Hats are now with where I'm at, like the idea of like, if they haven't changed that much, there's like no way they could like even come close to
not even
at this point. Like,
I
would hope they'd have their own little time skip kind of moment. But anytime we talk about drawing characters back like that, it's just, it makes me worried where it's like, it feels like it's more for nostalgia as opposed to the actual plot, right? We just want to see what happened to those people.
Of course. Yeah, I don't think anyone's asking for a fight with Gin at this point. Right. I think people want to see him come back.
Show up, wash up on deck, and just ask for a meal one day.
They catch him in the Grand Line starving again, literally.
Exactly. They go to a restaurant somewhere. Exactly. That is also super funny, though. You get that scene where, you know, Krieg is saying, "I'm the strongest in the world," and he finally gets knocked out. And the very next thing you see right after that is Gin holding him, being like, "All right, well, thanks for the meal, Sanji." Yeah. Just leaving, holding him like that. Like, I don't know any other story arc in which the main villain loses, and like two panels later, his sidekick just picks him up. It's like, "Yo, thanks a lot anyway for the meal. Appreciate it. Bye."
I love that he punched him in the gut, too. Like, he was just like, "We're done. Like, we're moving on. Like, you've tried everything. Like, Mans has lost his mind. We're getting out of here. Like, we're leaving. It's over."
How much do you want him to almost kill you right now?
Right.
So, even after Krieg hit him with the gas too, I mean, that speaks volumes about Gin right there. Is what he did with the gas mask. Like in that split moment, he gave, you know, Luffy his gas mask, plopped the other one on Sanji, and then still had the gull, like not the gull, but like had I don't even know what the word is, but
The cojones! That's what
the loyalty, we'll go with that. Literally pull Krieg and just be like, we're done, boys. Like, pack it up. Like, crew, getting the fucking ragtag ship that's cut in half over there. We're gonna half-ass sail home, okay? Pull the paddles out.
I think that's why it bothers Luffy so much, though, right? Because we see it throughout the series, like, not just with the Krieg pirates, but, like, yes, there definitely is quite a few pirates who, like, you could tell there's crew members who, like, don't want to be there and they're just afraid. But I feel like, generally, there's always this large amount, especially the ones close to them, like whether it's the right hand man or the third, fourth person down or whatever, that they would do anything for their captain. Mm-hmm. And almost all the pirates in the series, I feel like, are like that. And I think that's why Luffy is so bothered when he sees, because like that's the thing that I feel like triggers him almost more than anything. Like, you fuck with his crew, that's number one. And then you have, like, if he sees a captain kill, hurt, you know, anything like that to their crew, it instantly like flips a switch in Luffy. And it's just like, there's been so many instances where he's either holding back or he's just not getting involved in the fight, right? He's like, this is my fight. Like, he's just there. And he sees that, it's like, no, I'm not letting this happen. Like, you don't do that to your crew.
No, and you don't break your trust. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's what it is. Like, you know, the pirates and the captains, they have that bond. You know, whether or not it's a shitty captain, like, they kind of bonded on the seas, right? They bonded by blood almost.
Wasn't there a moment when he was fighting against, when Zoro was fighting Mihawk? Mm-hmm. God damn it!
How? Discord has got to have broken.
Yeah, it's got to be bug, bro.
This has got to be ridiculous.
Oh my gosh!
We're gonna edit this narrative in where you're just a real diva that just keeps leaving the conversation.
I just keep popping out. Permissions. Yeah. Connect. Speak. Yes. Video.
Yeah. I don't know why it's doing. I think it's under the settings. You have to set it where like auto AFK. Like, just turn AFK off.
Just delete the AFK channel.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do you think that would work?
Yeah, I think that would work. Channel? Yeah, yeah.
They have nowhere to go AFK, so...
Right, yeah. And you'd just be stuck, yeah.
Yeah, you'd be stuck.
It's so weird, just delete though. The AFK channel. Like, we haven't had any issue. We've had so many guests on it. We've never had this issue.
I don't know why it's doing it to me. Like I said, your Discord just hates me, man.
Yeah, it's just revolting against you.
That's I guess Rogers makes some.
Yeah, this is the best opportunity, right? We finally got you back, and hopefully it won't kick us out again.
Right, hopefully, yeah.
Let's talk about the backstory. Zeph, Sanji...
Oh,
and
man.
The big change for the manga to anime, if you're, you know, here listening and you know, you watch the anime, you haven't watched the manga. The big difference being Zeph cuts off his leg and eats his leg to survive, opposed to getting it crushed in the boat. And for the longest time, like this is one of those ones that people told me the second I watched it, right? Like, you don't understand. You got to read the manga. And I was like, why would they do that? Like, that seems crazy. It's such a more impactful moment. And I feel like it definitely is more emotional. But I started thinking as I was reading it this time is, if he willingly cut his leg off to eat his leg, why did he choose the important leg and not the other one? And now ever since then, it's been making me wonder, did they change it in the anime because of censorship, or did they change it in the anime because they were like, well, why would he willingly cut off the good leg and not the other leg?
Yeah.
Because he could have. Because his right leg is the good leg, right? Like, he could have ate the left. Why did he eat the right one?
The left leg is the plant leg. Yeah, so, like, you know, you can still kick ass with a peg leg.
Exactly.
Like, but if you got a peg leg for your plant leg, you're probably going to go flying.
Oh, true.
Exactly.
True.
Exactly.
I didn't think about that. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will say, though, like, I yo, Mans is brave and tough, mm-hmm. because oh, I was thinking, like, you know, maybe a sword and a whack, right? But, like, mm-hmm. nah, dude was, like, finding the jaggedest rock he could find. And he's just...
That's what I was expecting.
Also,
I was thinking
also
a knife
not making
or a
enough
sword.
Sound where Sanji can hear him actually cutting off his own leg is very impressive.
I may have missed this, but how did they tell you at what day he did that?
I would assume
they were, I mean, they were on that area for like, hold on, I'll pull it up.
They were there at least 70 days, but so, yeah, it was
a while.
I don't know if they specified at what point he actually cut off his leg, because I know they showed the scene and they kind of show, you know, they kind of hinted at it and they moved on, but I don't know if they ever actually, like, it just felt like it was early on that he did that.
It did feel like it was early on, but I think it was
the Sanji when they're, the time
they're found on day 85 and on day 70 is when he eats it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, because it says 30, 50, and then day 70. And that's when you start getting the scene where he's like, oh, man, the old geezer's probably dead. And he walks up to the mountain. And yeah, and then it never cuts from there. So it's, yeah, day 70. That's a piece of trivia I never even knew. If you would ask me what day he eats his leg,
I would have been shocked, too. Because, like, when I first saw it, I was like, nobody could survive that long. And then this time I actually looked it up out of curiosity. That actually, like, that is, don't get me wrong, they were about a week out from dying. But,
if
you have water, you can actually survive up to, like, 2 months without food, which I never knew. I didn't know you can live that long without food.
And bringing that up as well, I think, like, it wasn't even the amputation scene that hit the hardest. It was when Sanji was sneaking up and you finally got that full frontal view of how much weight Zeff had actually lost and like all he had gone through so Sanji could eat. Like that was like the hardest hitting part of the flashback, at least for me.
I mean, the whole ironic moment where Sanji's coming up to like steal his food and thinks that the old man's holding out on him.
He's
like that whole buildup from Oda was just amazing.
Yeah,
you know, like, 'cause it, like you don't think that, you're like, oh, he's got the bigger bag, blah blah, and like it's not until Sanji cuts the bag and goes, oh my god, and then it just hits you and you're just like, oh fuck.
And you know, that hit Sanji like a ton of bricks too, right? It's like this random dude who just like borderline broke his ribs. Right. Like prior was willing to do that to keep this, you know, kid alive just for the, just because they had the same dream, you know, just because
especially
he saw a little bit of himself in Sanji.
And it's especially good going back to it once you've gotten further in the story and find out more about Sanji. Right. And you find more about his story out and you understand like what happened in the lead up to all of this as well, like to him getting on the boat, all of it. It's so good. So good going back and rereading this now, and it makes retroactively Zeff into that much better of a character too.
Oh, 100%.
And, like, what a good father he's been to Sanji over the course of all these years. It's like,
without like spoiling anything, I'm like in the 800s episodes wise, so like probably similar in chapters, like 800s probably.
Yeah.
And the point where I'm at is literally like, it's making me look at this arc in a completely different light.
Right.
To the point where like I finished the Baratie arc, like I was reading the arc today earlier, like before I started recording, and then went and did a couple episodes and literally got a Baratie flashback. The exact episode that I sat down to watch immediately after finishing the arc. And I was like, 750 plus chapters later, and Oda's just dropping bombs.
Like, callbacks.
It's good.
Just, it's such a, I've talked about it before, but it's like, it's a story unlike anything I've ever like experienced. You know what I mean? Like there's been so many different things I've liked, and like, you know, there's plenty of convoluted stories that have really complicated, you know, tie-ins and backups and things like that. You know, I've been addicted to Kingdom Hearts for a long time, and that is a very similar, just crazy ass, like, you know, story. But this is one of those series that like I legitimately think that you could like start One Piece, get like 250 chapters in, go back, reread it. Get to 500, back, reread it. Get to 750, go back. Get to 1,000, go back. And every single time you will notice stuff and have a completely different experience. And I've never experienced anything like it.
I mean, go ahead. I was just going to say that I think that's the weird thing, right? With like, I'm sure you guys have already heard the news that now we are entering the final saga of the story in the manga. Oda's officially announced it. And he's going on like a month-long break for the first time since the time skip. And there's all these things. And people have been saying how terrified they are. They've been using the term terrified that One Piece is ending. And it's the kind of thing that stands out to me as somebody who covers this series for a living, where it's like, my livelihood is reading this series and I'm not terrified for it ending. I'm excited because the potential for what you can glean from the story after it's finished.
Oh,
like, yep. The things that we're not picking up on right now, probably even in this story arc, mm-hmm. that are going to be, like, mind-blowing 5 years from now when we get to the end of it, mm-hmm. it's, like, all the more reason to go back and reread it, right? Mm-hmm. It's, like, that's the beauty of One Piece compared to so many of these other series, is the world-building is so good, and he sets up stuff so early on that, and there's so much of it, right? There's so much content that you can go back and reread it, and there'll always be things that you forgot or things that you're seeing in a different light. Mm-hmm. And it's meant to be like that, right? There are some people who are encyclopedias. Shout out to you, Tekken. Tekken's a fun.
For real. He really is.
He knows everything. And that's why we love him. Mm-hmm. But the majority of people are not like that and can't remember every little detail. Yep. And so that's the beauty of being able to go back to it and going, oh man, like this character again, or I didn't understand this is what he was doing with this thing. It's the best. Well, it really is the best.
To bring that back with like Sanji itself is like, it's the subtlety in which he tells the story as well. Cause when you're starting with like the flashback, you get Sanji where he's like, oh my God, why are you eating other people's food that they left behind? That's disgusting. And like, he's throwing food away, you know, just absolutely wasting it. Right. And then, you know, full circle around, now he's like, I'm always going to promise a meal to someone, like no matter the condition. And so it's like, that was like, you could have treated that entirely as a throwaway scene to make him look like just like a small little kid. But like, it literally told that full story of like, he sees that as like disgusting all the way now until like he appreciates food so much that like even someone he knows is going to screw him over, he will still feed them.
I can imagine though, like I can't like you think about it, you know, think about the time where you're like, oh, it's been like, I haven't eaten in like a day and a half and you're fucking starving. Like, can you even fathom the idea of like, because, you know, he had food up until what was like the first 20 or 25 days or something like that. Like, imagine having to literally live for 60 days without nothing, not a crumb. Like, you just probably, water. There's no way you would look at food the same again.
Like, I can't go 3 hours without a protein bar. Are you kidding me at this point? Like, yo, I'd be a day and a half in. I'd be jumping off that mushroom island just hoping like there was a shark at the bottom. Like,
well, screw it. Way back up, right?
I've done all I can.
I'll figure it out.
I'd be able to make it if I had a Switch. I think if I had my Switch with me and I'm playing a game or something, because there's definitely times where I'm lost in just sort of in like a Zen mode, and I'll sit for like 2 days and I'm like, oh, I forgot to eat. So I feel like I could do it so long as I had a Switch. But if I don't have a Switch, then
what game?
It's over for me. Yeah.
What game?
Well, Smash Brothers, of course, without a doubt. Yeah. Or Animal Crossing is probably a better choice because it's just infinite.
Yeah, sure.
Live your own little life in there. But then you got to watch the little animals eating their happy little apples and going,
oh,
like,
yeah.
that would even eat in Smash Brothers at least. Yeah.
That'd be so terrible. You'd be sitting there trying.
At least in Smash Brothers, you're like, I'm going to go turn off all the food items. No food items in Smash, only hammers.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So the last scene I want to talk about before we can kind of get into a little bit more spoilery territory, if you guys want to, is kind of the conclusion where all of the crew is trying to drive Sanji out to the point where Zeph actually punches Sanji. And same thing. That moment did not hit me the way it did the first time I watched it. And this time it wrecked me. Like, because it just, I didn't realize how impactful it was, I guess, the first time I watched it. But, I mean, this is one of those things where it's, like, the first time that any of them have seen him use his hands in that way. And you could tell it's, like, his way of just, like, go. You need to leave.
Sanji said that multiple times, like, throughout the arc, I want to say. It was a chef's hands are, you know, they're, I forgot the quote of it.
Yeah.
But that's their living, right?
Like, the tools. Yeah, of course, the tools for the trade. Yeah,
to fight. So, like, for him to do that was a huge, like, eye opening experience. I'd say to Sanji.
Yeah.
Oh, that, and then Sanji trying to leave without saying goodbye, and Zeph just not letting it happen. And same thing. That scene just it wrecked me, dude.
I mean, just the fact that like Sanji was outside the door and just listening.
That shot is just my gosh, that so good.
Shot right there was just like you seeing that and just knowing that Sanji's listening and it's just hitting him that much harder because he just knows that everyone cares about him.
I appreciate that about Oda too. Whereas instead of like leaving that kind of mystery where Sanji's going to like wonder, like he lets him hear. Like the good things about him, right? Like to instill that confidence that he can actually go on now.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
I will say, I was like, I'm not going to cry this time the way I did through the anime. And then Zeph was like, keep your shoes dry or keep your feet dry. And I was like, oh, fuck. yeah, I lost it at that point. I was like, I held on for as long as I could.
It's just, I think the other thing about this too is, you know, that shot of him bowing to everybody, you know, saying the goodbye, thinking back to that scene again, from where we are now, we still get character moments like that, right? But I feel like a lot of those character moments are relegated to characters that are not necessarily part of the crew, right? It's like the characters of the week, right? Like the royalty and the kingdom they're trying to free or whatever, right? Yeah. And you get that moment, but it's few and far between where you get that with the actual core crew members. And this is still early enough in the story where they are the through line of the arc, right? There's no question who the protagonist is of the Baratier arc. Mm-hmm. And I really go back and appreciate those moments now with everything that we've seen in the story. Right? It does. Yeah. It absolutely does. Yeah.
So before we move on to the little spoilery section, if you're reading along with us or watching along with us for the first time, you don't want spoilers. Next podcast is going to be the Arlong Park arc. It's going to be 27 chapters, chapter 69 to 95, or if you want to watch along, episodes 31 to 44. So go check that out. Description in the below. Terped all over that. In the description below is Roger's link, and you can go subscribe to that. So if for some magical reason you have not checked out his channel, go do it. Although be wary, if you're not caught up, you know,
spoilers.
Understand, he is caught up. I mean, keep that in mind.
Reader who reads every Sunday when the chapters come out. So yeah, it's if you don't want to see anything from the manga, exactly. Be wary.
He's like, close eyes, don't look.
Exactly.
I can't wait to watch your videos.
Yeah, I do try to make a point to not have like super spoilery titles or anything. It's like I have a character or whatever, so you should be okay. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And remember, you can rate us 5 stars on iTunes or Spotify, like your boy Q did. Said, I listen to the podcast often and love the content you guys always put out, but this is definitely my favorite podcast now, hands down. I'm even rereading it again. Keep up the work. So nice. Thank you so much for that. Appreciate that. But now, I guess let's just migrate in. Feel free to talk about whatever you want if you guys wanted to bring anything up. I know there's like, I could probably talk for an hour and a half about what the hell I'm going in through now, but I can't because I'll spoil you.
You're at Punk Hazard, right? So you have to get up to a certain point.
I literally just got to the episode where Law wanted to have an allegiance with Luffy. So,
oh my God, that is so good. That was
yes.
I know the part you want to talk about, Ruff, too. Like
I know.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm sure I can get that point in the story. I think it's interesting, though, that moment that you just got to, where you said that, you know, you got to Law and Luffy, you know, putting together their alliance, that now, literally the exact chapter, certain things come to fruition in the manga, was 5 years from when that first happened in the story. I think it's actually been longer than 5. I think it's been like 10.
Yeah,
I'm gonna think of it.
I was looking at it. The episode I'm at in Whole Cake apparently came out in 2017.
Right. So that exact scene that you're thinking of, everything that comes to fruition is 10 years real time after that in terms of manga chapters. So you've got a long way to go.
It's such a good thing, Boom. Like you're in this arc you're probably already getting the comments of people shit talking it because I got the exact same thing.
Oh, yeah.
And don't get me wrong, like I wouldn't say it's better than the next coming arcs, but the setup that Punk Hazard does is incredible. And it's just, you know.
A lot of people are burned on Punk Hazard because of the anime versus the manga, because the anime does pad out a lot of stuff where they're running in the hallways. And I mean, Fishman Island did that too. That's like around the time.
Yeah, like the whole like Vanderdecken throwing the Noah thing. That could have been compressed to like an episode, probably.
Because really, prior to that, in the pre-time skip era, there wasn't that much padding. There were filler parts, but it was to nowhere near the extent that it is today.
Like
now you're getting like half a chapter pacing. Yeah, Skype. But even Skypiea was still going at least a full chapter every single episode. Mm. They were never going half a chapter pacing, and we got like, to that still in Punk Hazard.
You felt like they could have just like kind of like made it a little more concise, right?
Yeah.
But like it never felt like overkill or anything like that. Yeah, they could have wrapped that up just like a little bit quick. But I mean, I'm one of those. I actually really liked the last half of Fishman Island as well. Like, don't get me wrong. That was, several episodes. Like, you know, it's like, that could have been probably like 5 episodes less. But also like still more One Piece. So I'm not necessarily going to be pissy about it, right? So it's like, I am now at that phase where it's like I'm over, since I am over halfway now, it's like, oh fuck. It's like I'm on the downhill slide. It's like I'm eventually going to get caught up.
I went on like.
Do you want to be caught up? Because then you're
I
like.
I do and I don't. Like, it's that fear, man, where it's like I want to be caught up and I want to be part of the current conversations. But it's like, you know, it's the idea of like the story I'm creating in my head along with what's actually happening and what could happen.
Of course.
It's like, what if it's not there where I am up here and it's.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, that's just something you got to get over where it's like, hey, he's the one writing the story way better than I could ever like come up with. So,
yeah,
I feel like you're going to get into the point of no return, because this happened to me not long after Punk Hazard, where like I got to a certain point and I just haven't. I've like kicked it in so high gear because I'm just like, I'm done. I need to know what happens. I'm not waiting anymore. Yeah. I'm scared. I'm stressed. I'm sick of seeing the words One Piece on Twitter and panic scrolling every day. I'm like, sure. I'm ready to just dive in.
Yes.
He has been going ham, dude. It is scary how much he's been watching.
So the funny thing is, like, Boom, you know that, like, the pacing, like, I've definitely noticed it. I've talked about it. Like, I definitely don't think that I would give One Piece a plus in terms of pacing after post-time skip.
Right.
It's never really bothered me too much. But I went on a fucking tirade today because, I won't spoil anything, but yeah. I would argue two of the most, like, important and impactful emotional episodes that I've seen in the series, period. I watched today, and it's the first time that I actually got pissed off at the pacing, because not the flashbacks, because I was like, all right, you know, whatever, like it's relevant to what happens, but they did, you know, like in the middle of the episode, they do the little thingy where the little time card comes up for commercials.
Yeah, of course.
It happens in the middle. It's always in the middle. It's one. Both of these episodes, arguably some of the most important episodes in, I don't even know how long.
I know exactly the thing you're talking about, too. Yeah.
There was three transition cards throughout both episodes. And then when the episode ended, and it was still a really good episode, but not as impactful as the ones before, but went back to not doing it. And I was like,
why?
Like, because that, if I'm remembering correctly, that episode was a two-part when it was released initially.
Yeah, it's
where
they part did one, part two.
The same. Yeah, right. Where it was the same day or the same... They did something. I'm not going to say what the scene is, because again, I don't want to spoil anybody. But like that scene, if I'm thinking of it correctly, was like a TV Tokyo special thing, because I think it had something to do with like the Olympics that were going on at that time,
where they had to.
Yeah, I'm almost like certain that's the case. I feel like I did a video on this years ago. Is there was like the Olympics were going on, and so they bypassed an episode 1 week, and so they did a double episode that week instead, and it happened to be that really important part. Yeah. It's just, it's a certain fight. It's a fight between two characters, right?
Yeah.
That's 100%.
It was just so weird to me, because I was like, the first time it happened, like the second one came up, and I was like. Did that? Am I losing?
Oh, that was a bummer watching it week 2 week two, because knowing in the manga that that was coming and then watching the anime being like, it's coming. And then right afterwards, like, sorry, Olympics are more important. And you're like, no, they're not. I don't care if it's a gold medal. They're not more important than this. I want to see this.
Yeah. In one case, it's more than the gold.
Easily. Way more than the gold. Yeah.
Dude.
Oh, so good.
That's funny enough with that is like the past Olympics that we had. Like, I've never paid attention to the Olympics, really. I've never really been into that. But the amount of people that did One Piece poses, one was wild.
Yeah, there was like one of the wrestlers did a Frankie pose. And
It was the weightlifter, I think.
The weightlifter guy. And there was one of the runners or something did the gear too. So, yeah.
I like it, dude. It's great.
I love that it's permeating culture like way more now. Which just makes me excited for like all the things that could especially like come to the West with it. And like, you know how, it's
the live action show's coming. I mean, they're literally, and this is also one of the few live action shows that actually looks good. It's like, I don't know if you've seen the sets of the Baratier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That looks first amazing. Look,
it's absolutely incredible.
The guy playing Zeph, I'm sure you could splice it in the edit, but like he looks like Zeph.
Yeah.
I mean, he like the actual actor, no makeup, his headshot, has the One Piece Zeph face. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah. So, yeah, they've been doing a great job. And I don't know if you know this, but, like, the showrunner for the show, his name is Matt Owens, is and always has been, like, a massive One Piece fan, and met with Oda directly and was approved by Oda, which does not happen a lot of the time on these shows. But Oda not only oversaw that, he also oversaw all of the main cast, so the main Straw Hats. Mm. They went to Oda and were like, this person? And he had to give the go ahead. So Oda's lot of involvement on it and a lot of like approvals.
Right.
That I think a lot of these other live action anime adaptations have not had.
Well, I mean, he even said at one point, like, he wanted to go ahead and do it now because he didn't know what kind of energy he would have for it in the future.
Exactly.
Right. Where it's
right.
And I did a video on the sets and stuff like that. And dude, like the overwhelming negativity of people being like, I just don't trust it. I'm like, it's but Oda's got action. His hands on this one.
Highly recommend if people have not watched it and you don't mind spoilers up to the end of the arc that Ruff is currently on. Okay. There was a Reverie live stream that we did. This was in 2020, where it was like me, King of Lightning, Tekken, and a bunch of us. And we do these like regular Reveries. When you guys are caught up, obviously, feel free to come on them. But we talk about the manga and like goings on and things that are happening. And Matt, who is the showrunner for the Netflix show, was watching the stream and is a friend of mine, and he messaged me and was like, yo, can I come on and talk about One Piece with you guys?
That's
so
amazing.
We're streaming live, and the showrunner for the Netflix show comes on, and then he was like answering questions from everybody. Like, I know him, but like that's nobody so else cool. in the call knew him personally, and he's answering all their questions and like referencing things from their videos. So like he's aware of the fandom and is aware of what people want and is very respectful of the source material in a way that like I
kind of dislike you now because you got that opportunity to do something that cool. But, like, you know, it's a begrudging respect, really.
So I have a question for you, Roger. So like as somebody, you know, you've been a One Piece content creator for I don't know how many years it's been now, but a long time.
Yeah, it'll be 10 next year, which is unbelievable. Yeah,
wow. That is wild. Yeah. Like and I noticed like so I started it about I think it was like 2 years ago or something like that is when I started doing the videos on it. And I've noticed even just from myself that it seems that One Piece, especially over here in the West, is booming in popularity and at very rapid rate. Do you like be as somebody who's caught up that probably sees way more stuff than I'm able to because I tend to avoid a lot of it. Do you find that happening as well? Like seeing the live action and Odyssey and all that?
Yes and no. I feel like definitely here. I think in the West, it is exploding in popularity in a way that it hasn't really done before. I think it's for a number of reasons. One, Naruto doesn't exist anymore, and Bleach doesn't exist anymore, and Dragon Ball's got Super, but it's not the same. And, you know, for as much as people like to say, oh, there's no such thing as the Big Three or whatever there is, I mean, the actual definition of the Big Three, the term, came from a time in the industry in which there weren't very many things that were being brought over here, and Bleach, One Piece, and Naruto were carrying Shonen Jump. And now, there's, you know, anime and manga have become so mainstream now that so many series can flourish, right? You don't just have a Big Three anymore. You've got My Hero Academia, Jujutsu Kaisen, Chainsaw Man, Spy Family, like, and there's so many of them, right? That are all ongoing, Attack on Titan, whatever, of varying genres, that I do feel that One Piece, because it's the last big, long shonen left of that old era, has sort of become where, like, everybody who did enjoy Naruto in the past or Bleach in the past, they're all sort of, like, folding into One Piece now because it's the last holdout. Whereas in Japan, and this is very clear from manga sales, despite people wanting to make up their own reasoning for it, it is dwindling in popularity significantly. Okay. To put it in perspective, One Piece for years was number one without question. Like selling millions of volumes every year without question, without fail, was not in the top five last year. Did not even make the top five and was beaten by My Hero Academia, Tokyo Revengers, Demon Slayer, Jujutsu Kaisen, and I want to say Chainsaw Man, I think was the fifth one.
But
it was
like
beaten by the fifth.
Right.
Which is very surprising because One Piece for years has been the king of all manga. And I think that's just a testament to how long the series has been going on, right?
Right.
A lot of fans. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, let me ask, like, do you feel it is the longevity that's hurting it at this
100%.
Point?
100%. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Because I was like, because you were mentioning all the other shows being options now. Like, where, you know, before anime was, like, the genre, but now, like, we have it so popular here. Like, now you do have the shonen fans, you know, everybody has, like, the thing they can finally
shonen, seinen, slice of life, romance, of
just,
whatever.
Like, it's not just anime now. It's actually, like, the real genres of anime.
Exactly. But
so it is longevity that is kind of just like
makes sense.
I mean, so
that's what it feels like to me. I mean, because the current story arc in the manga, right, has been going on for I think 5 years at this point.
Yeah, I remember saying it's like 4 years or it's like
it's
the longest
arc. Yeah, it's very very long, and I think it got to a point midway through that arc where you can clearly see the dip in manga sales. I mean, it's clear as day. Mm. I think it got to the point where people weren't necessarily like falling out of love with One Piece, but it was the kind of thing where people were like, all right, look, this is getting really long now. I can't keep up with this. I'm going to wait until it's over and then binge it. Mm. And I do think you're going to see a massive spike when the final volume of the current story arc right now is published. I think you're going to get a big spike in manga volume sales of the other portions of that arc.
People just kind of, all right, now I can binge it.
I can catch this up now. I'm going to buy all 8 volumes, right?
Yeah, makes sense.
It's a shame that like the man's work ethic actually works against him in this regard, because you know One Piece is going to be there.
Right. And I think that's a big reason, too, why, you know, I know people are scared that he's going to rush it or something. But I would say have faith in Oda at this point. Right.
Yeah.
He hasn't steered you wrong at this point.
Yeah, and that's what the one that brought you.
Yeah. Him saying we're entering the final saga of the story, you know, where we are right now, he's going on his month long break. That means nothing. I mean, when you think of sagas in One Piece, sagas contain multiple story arcs.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like we're entering the final. They're not going to find the One Piece in the next arc, right? I mean, there's other arcs, there's other islands they need to get to that will lead to that ultimate goal. But I mean, realistically, minimum, we're probably going to have 3 or 4 major arcs still coming in the story, in addition to an epilogue or something like that, and it's going to be at least another 5 years, because I know for a fact Shueisha's already planning for the 30th anniversary of One Piece. You know, the 20th anniversary. So I mean, they're doing it. So it's going to at the very least make it to 2027. Without a doubt, it will make it to 2027.
Right. I mean, if you look
how many movies in between then,
there's going to be movies and game. I mean, we're getting a movie and a game this year, but I'm sure there's going to be another Pirate Warriors game. They already have 4 of those. I mean, there's probably going to be another fighting game at some point. They really wanted to. They can get Arc System to, you know, make One Piece fighters in the same way there was Dragon Ball fighters. I mean, there's so many different things. And even moving beyond that, if they, you know, make it to 30 years in the manga, we could still get a One Piece Kai, right?
Oh,
we can get like
some type of version
of the anime that's condensed, that doesn't have the bad pacing, that's got great animation, that would get new people into it. It would, you know, get people to then reread it. I'm not saying there would ever be like a sequel to One Piece in the same way there's like a Boruto and a Naruto, but I could easily see like a spinoff type thing, like in the past, maybe with more of Roger's adventures or something like that. I mean, they could do any number of things they could do with One Piece. So just because the main story's concluding, I mean, there's still plenty more.
I feel like a Buggy one would actually do really well, because oddly enough, I feel like Buggy is becoming like a character that like is below, at least in the West, it feels like Buggy is like beloved now, where
everyone loves Buggy.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I kind of would like to see that, because I've loved the cover stories that we finally get to experience reading the manga and stuff. So
and the cover stories. That's the other thing I would mention too, is the cover stories they used to animate, and they used to be part of the actual show, and then they stopped animating them at a certain point. I forgot what the last one was that was animated, but I know Kobe and Helmuppo's was definitely animated. And then, I don't know, they just stopped, which was unfortunate, because there's a lot of important stuff in those cover stories, especially where we are now, that I do hope that if we ever do get a Kai or a reanimated version, that stuff becomes like 2 episodes, right? Or they condense it to 1 episode. They have all the cover stories, it's just 1 thing. So,
We could definitely see a lot, dude. The series is definitely vast, and I definitely don't see it like changing like course. I feel like no matter what, like you were saying, there's so many things they can do, and especially with it becoming more and more popular in the West, like it's a completely different demographic of people, that I'm sure there's some stuff that they're like, well, we didn't make this because it probably wouldn't have done well in Japan, but like it might do well in America, and I could see that taking like a whole turn. I could see if the live action is really good, which I have faith in it. Like I know a lot of people, like you were saying, is anti.
I'm reserving judgment to an action.
You should. I mean, you should. To be fair, yeah.
Same.
But yeah.
We'll see what happens. But yeah. Roger, thank you so much. Oh, you have something else? Of course.
No, I was just going to say that also in terms of One Piece 2, you're going to see a huge boost in popularity when we get to that final arc, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, once we reach the final war with the revolutionaries and the emperors of the sea and taking down the world government, right? When we get to that point, there's going to be bandwagoners.
The
popularity is going to spike again, and it's going to be number 1 unquestionably. I think it's getting to that point, which is going to sort of be, you know, see where things take us. But I think that's why Oda sort of wanted to jump ahead of this now and say, we're entering the final saga. Get ready. You know, I want to tighten all this up to make sure it's really good. So, yeah, the best is yet to come, I feel.
I could definitely see that in the future for sure. If you enjoyed the video, be sure to click the like button, subscribe, or go check out the audio version. We're available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, pretty much anywhere podcasts are made available. And like I said, all the links to the description will be down there. Roger's channel, my individual channel, Boom, Sione's, everything will be down there. So go check it out. Thanks for watching, and we will see you for our long park. Later.
Enjoy.